Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
And welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. And we do mean front lines, because this is one of our very special live podcasts. I am here in the trailer between shows. This is sounding more and more like entertainment, entertainment tonight, as we say, as we go along. But in between shows, Brian Brushwood is our guest. I'll skip the rest of the intro and just get right to him. Of course, you can see him at Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights and on Scam School at scamschool.tv. Just stop grinning at me and talking into the microphone. Brian Brushwood.
I was told my line was, "How are you doing, Brian?" So I was waiting politely for that.
Fell apart when you started, when you almost spit out your Mountain Dew when I started doing the intro.
Well, you turned in your radio announcer voice.
I know.
And it's great because you have this giant old-timey microphone that you're holding as well. It's like I expected some Foley special sound effects in the background or something.
We should just start singing like old-timey songs like... Hello, my baby. Yes, sir.
The plane is flying overhead. And we just brought the podcast to a screeching halt.
That's what we do. You know, that's for the on-the-road ones, we just kick back. All the rules go out the window.
Well, good. I'm glad I could contribute to that chaos.
If you guys would like to fire back on anything you hear on this podcast, go ahead and email show@itricks.com or just leave a comment on the post on iTrix. But first, a word from our sponsor. Has your online magic shop given you the bird, been let down when you received a trick that wasn't exactly what you thought it was? Need a professional opinion before clicking the buy button? TrickShopMagic.com is a real magic shop located in Southern California and is proud to announce their live chat feature at any time while you're browsing the over 6,000 magic items. Simply click the live chat button and a magician will be standing by to assist you with your questions. Now, Brian, let me just fill you in. Sam Blankenship is a friend of ours. He advertised on the podcast. He's been our longest advertiser. And on Mondays, everybody who listens to the podcast just jams the live chat with all sorts of questions ranging from inane to really real. So I know you're a big fan, of course, social engineering and,
yes,
and directing people. You have the big iScam thing.
Yes.
So I figured you'd appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We just throw as many people as possible to ask, just jam, the magician's lines there.
So it's probably not a good idea to lay out your scam like on the air like that. That sort of undercuts the power of it, right?
No. Because really, how else are we going to talk to everybody to get them to bother Sam? This is really not so much a scam as it is just bothering personally.
I gotcha.
It's almost like more of a prank than it is a scam.
Well, that's great, man. I'm all in favor of making anyone miserable for a laugh.
And go ahead and buy stuff there, too, so he keeps advertising.
Absolutely.
As he gears up to come to Vegas for his Planet Hollywood show later this month, Keith Barry kept a running diary of his life for an Irish newspaper, in which he revealed, amongst other things, being hit on by Mel B, a.k.a. Scary Spice, of the Spice Girls on a London television program.
Now, sweet!
I know. There are worse things that can happen, right?
Now, I'm always skeptical. This is a skeptic in me. As soon as, you know, when anyone announces I was hit on by so-and-so, it's just like, I mean, how do you know if
they're... apparently the quote, and it's on tape, although we don't have it,
okay,
but he says it was on live television, was that she kept asking if he had a wife.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's...
I'm going to say the second or third time, like when she goes back with, "Are you sure?"
Yeah.
Then I'm going to say you're definitely being hit upon.
Yeah. When she's furiously checking your hands for a ring, that might be the sign. All right. Now, Brian, what I would ask you is, you've done a ton of TV, of all shapes and sizes. You know, in your live show, you have just quick clips of Jay Leno, the Food Network, all sorts of stuff. What's the strangest occurrence you've had happen on any of your television?
Oh, that's a great question. And to be honest,
it's
the first one. that's not me just kissing up. But that's,
yeah, all right.
That's all like, wait, I didn't know this would be a gotcha interview, you bastard.
I know. I'm totally Katie Kirk.
Yeah, that's right. Gotcha journalism at its worst.
Can you name a Supreme Court case? Huh? Can you answer?
Actually, luckily, I've got an anecdote all prepared. The first national TV appearance I ever did,
yeah,
was actually on the Roseanne show. I don't know if you remember, but Roseanne had a talk show for about 12 minutes.
Gotcha.
And by the time they had me on, it was already going downhill, and everyone knew this thing was going to crap, right? And there was this, and they didn't tell me, but Roseanne is a total freak out germaphobe.
Yes.
Like crazy, yeah, OCD, right? and they had me do the human blockhead, hammer nail in my nose, and they had me do the nail in the eye gag for her, like, as this total setup. And I mean, I don't know that that was the intention, but it was like,
but
you
let's say
feel
theoretically,
this...
if you're going to add everything together, this might have been the crew just being like, all right, this whole thing, I'm not going to, what are you going to do, fire me? The show's going to be
that's
canceled.
That's kind of where they were at that point. They're like, what the hell, we're all going down here. But it was weird because, I mean, she really spazzed out, and then the camera stopped rolling, and she wasn't too happy about holding, you know, a nail with eye goop on it. And
okay,
she was,
so you
like,
gave her,
Lysol,
that's usually part of the act for you, is you hand the nail out as
that's
as
right, that's
souvenir.
Right, I did. I put it right into her hand, and she was a little bit spazzy about that, so
wow.
That was kind of fun.
I don't know, well, maybe one of her other personalities would have been better suited for her.
Yeah, that's right, we got her on the wrong day.
Frank Lefty Rosenthal died this week. Of course, he was the man who inspired Casino and almost died of a car bomb. And really, he is carved his name into magic history as the first guy who gave a starring role to Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
We found, we poured through the internet. That's what we are, is internet reporters. We poured through the annals of the internet, a.k.a. did a Google search once.
That's right. Which means all history ends in 1971. Because if it involves actual paper documentation, forget about it.
Yeah,
it didn't happen.
Useless to everybody. But we did find a column from Lefty himself detailing the negotiations of bringing Siegfried and Roy to the Lido de Paris.
Is this before, like, they were in Vegas but not really starring?
They were in Vegas, and I forget where they were before, but their contract had just come up, and as he describes in the column, he gave a dude who was just, I mean, it just shows you how Vegas has kind of changed. He was just one of the guys who knew guys, and he used to drink at the Stardust Casino a lot, and he said, listen, I'll pay you $500 if you get me in a room with Siegfried and Roy.
No kidding.
So he gets him in the room, and here, I'll read verbatim.
Now you would think it would be the reverse. You'd think it'd be Siegfried and Roy trying to get in the room with him.
No, they were, like, they were rising stars.
Okay.
And he was coming from one of the Wynn casinos, and he wound up going to the Stardust. And
okay.
Eventually, of course, they went back to a Wynn casino. But here was the negotiation from Lefty's column. Money was the easy part. I simply doubled their MGM salary and offered them a rock-solid contract. Still a long way from a done deal, though. They requested elaborate costume design, dressing rooms, space for lions, tigers,
already, this
and
is totally unbelievable.
Yes,
this is clearly made up.
Who, these guys. And then, of course, the big sticking point was Lido de Paris had never had a featured act, or they'd always had a featured act, never had a starring act. So the rest of the column, you should go read it. We have it linked on iTrix, is him negotiating with the Lido de Paris people to be like, listen, I swear to God, these guys are going to be the next big thing. They're going to take Vegas by storm.
And it's so great to hear that those stories actually happen. That you're going to be huge, and then they are, you know? I mean, that's great.
And and just real quick, because I do have a question that pertains to you, but it does show...
There's no need to bring it back to me. I mean, if you want to stick to Siegfried and Roy, I'm cool with that the whole show.
But, I mean, it shows you a different story that... I mean, I know that you're plugged in with the Magic community, but Vegas has changed so much that, like you said, that doesn't happen anymore. People have four-wall rooms just to get a space. When we did our Jeff McBride interview, he was basically a big cautionary tale, like, listen, don't come to Vegas unless someone wants to pay you.
Yeah, and it's my impression is that pretty much either they name the theater after you or you make $100 a night, and there's pretty much no middle ground.
There is nothing on the 50-yard line there. Now, what I would ask you is we've talked about a little bit since I've been here, and I've been lucky enough, and hopefully on iTrix, at this point, by the time this hits, we'll have all sorts of videos and pictures from the Brian Brushwood experience here. And let me just tell you, he's a star.
So it's an experience now. I like that. That's cool.
When you walk through one of the haunted houses, and a guy getting his leg sawed off is screaming, Brian! Brian, you know, magic! Help me! Help me! as a Victorian ghoul is separating someone by the knee.
Yeah.
Brian's hit a certain level of celeb.
He probably got fired for breaking character, by the way.
But anyway, well, this is not your normal gig. You are college, tour, 20 states, you said, would normally be this month for you.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Can you talk about the difference and how nice it is to be conducting this interview in a trailer?
Oh, it's awesome. I slept in the same bed, like, last night and the night before. And the night before that, like, the same bed 3 nights in a row. It was unreal.
Yeah.
You know, normally, it's I gotta tell you, I love travel, and I love being on the road, and I love meeting all the people and being at the colleges. And it's kind of cool insofar as this Groundhog Day experience where you come in and you meet all the people and they all seem the same after a while.
Yeah.
But as a change of pace, I mean, for crying out loud, 6 weeks in the same place. I drive in, I commute in and work 8 hours, do 5 shows. And, yeah. And I mean, they treat me so well. I mean, it's a dream come true, but who knows where everything's going to lead. But for the moment, I am having a total blast.
Would you say after this might be more of a goal, to find, or has that always been?
Oh, absolutely.
Always been a goal?
Yeah. And I think also, part of the reason I liked colleges is because, they seemed like maybe a half step above street performance as far as getting honest feedback from the audiences.
Gotcha.
A lot of magicians, they only work corporate events. And when you're being paid to be there, when the boss is picking up the dime, pretty much they just want you to show up and be polite and have everything go off without a hitch,
Yeah.
Whereas a college show, it's like you're going to get honest feedback, like, wow, that show really sucked, or, wow, yeah, that was really good.
They're choosing your show instead of the party that started.
Exactly.
5 minutes
They're
ago.
Not at the kegger. They're coming out to watch some weirdo stick nails in his eyes. I really have gotten everything I've wanted out of that for the past 8 years. And I'd be happy, worst case scenario, I could do this for another 15 years and keep doing colleges and keep touring. But it seems like between scam school and some of the bigger opportunities like here at Universal, I mean, I could, I'll work a theater, I'll go in all kinds of different directions.
So, everybody, he's open. Open to this kind of stuff.
If there is a paycheck involved, Brian is there. I will work a meatpacking house.
Yeah, the big, the boss of the meatpacking house right now listening to the podcast with a big cigar.
Here's what we need, kid. He's got to be a star in pork bellies.
All right. Why shop Ronjio.com? Well, Brian, I'm glad you asked. It's
I was
simple.
Just thinking myself. But, what I really want to know is why should I shop? What was it again?
Ronjio.
Yeah, Ronjio. That's what I was thinking.
Well, it's because Ronjio.com is focused on customer satisfaction, superior service, and hassle-free returns. Ronjio proudly maintains a live updating online inventory system, so you, the customer, will always know what's in stock. Fast shipping is another reason. All in-stock items ship the same day if the order is placed by 3 p.m. Eastern time, and customers automatically earn 1 reward point for every dollar spent at Ronjio. Every 20 reward points, of course, earns a dollar in store credit when checking out. Just another reason why Ronjio.com is a great shopping experience. And, of course, iTrix at checkout will get you a 20% discount. So although we don't have any organized gate-crashing techniques for Ronjio yet, please make sure you go there and get your 20% off.
Awesome.
All right. Now for our weekly update on Chris Angel's Believe. We had it lead the podcast for the last 2 weeks, so we figured we bump it back in the order just because I'm sure it'll be number
one.
We
lasted 10 full minutes before down into gossip and rumor and innuendo we go.
Baseless speculation.
That's right. Speculate wildly about Chris Angel. Go.
This actually is one that Chris Angel's team will probably be more encouraged to hear. The Las Vegas Sun reported that the show is quote-unquote making progress, and a lot of the issues that have plagued the preview shows are simply being ironed out. For our part, we are hearing, at least, and this is through the comments of people who email us, fewer reviews that, people have used the term disaster and off the rails before.
We prefer exciting and unpredictable.
Well, we don't this is previews. Obviously, you don't want to jump down, somebody's throat before things are really, they're ready to say this is us. But people are sending in more and more positive stuff as the weeks go along.
Now, I have a question for you. Have they leaked the narrative insofar as any Cirque show really seems to have a narrative?
Well, leak as in them doing it, no.
Okay.
They've said nothing. All they've said is Chris has said that it's, I think the promo material is it's a trip through Chris Angel's mind, and they use all sorts of flowery language. I believe the word macabre dreamscape is maybe used somewhere.
The desert.
In there. Yeah, yeah. It's.
I just want to know how he's going to open his mouth wide enough to actually bite the entire audience at once when he signs out before they go to commercial. That's going to be awesome.
Well, I would ask you, as somebody who's evolved a show, here in the theater, that, tonight, for instance, you're doing 5 shows for the audiences. How has this, what began as Brian Brushwood's Halloween Horror Night show, evolved over the weeks and even evolved show to show per night? Is it?
Oh, you've got to be fast. This is a theme park, and there are 8 haunted houses. There's all these different scare zones. Thousands and thousands of people come in. There's booze. There's alcohol. There's a million things to do. And I don't I can't pretend to know what's going on in the minds of the people coming in, but a lot of them, I know it's an impulse decision. It's like, hey, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. This is starting, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you've got to win them over. You've got to grab their attention. You've got to, I mean, like literally, we've gone through, we've tried to make it to where there's not more than 20 seconds in the entire show without either a laugh or a punch, when it comes to an effect. I mean, it's very, very show me right now. It's almost as bad as television.
Now, has that changed since you started? Was it maybe a little flabbier at the beginning and you've tightened up?
Oh, as far as the run, we tightened it up pretty well. Once we actually had our first few nights, I think we did a good job of predicting, because this is also the second year back, and I had a good idea of what the audience was going to want, yeah, what they were going to expect. And so we had trimmed out a lot of, I don't want to call it fat, because what is perfectly acceptable in an 80-minute show, and doesn't feel like fat, it feels like
exactly
backstory and setup and that kind of stuff. You know, for something that you're doing a 20-minute review show, you just got to keep, you know, trim all that out. And I think we did a good job of predicting that early on. And I think mainly it's been additions of little extra jokes or planting things that
yeah,
you know, response.
So it's a 20-minute show. Do you come in with a 20-minute show, or do you come in with like a 25-minute show that you see what works and play around with?
Actually, I think they told me early on they wanted to stick to around 20 minutes, and I came in with about 20 minutes. I think we may have added another minute or two in little jokes and you know, figured out how to keep everything tight and punchy.
And just so everybody knows, and Brian's not kidding when it's like an impulse decision kind of thing, Brian's theater is like right in front, or like, you know, in front of a popcorn and beer stand, and there are people outside with fluorescent.
We've got barkers.
Exactly.
Out
and
there,
it's just fluorescent lights that, like, if you're not careful, you just, you know, wind up meandering in because you're not careful.
If you zone
careful
out, it becomes,
yeah,
a zombie. They're like, I'm going this way, apparently.
Like,
hey,
and
I'm in a theater.
Somebody,
I guess,
has
there's a
puppet.
Show.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, so, and I will say, you know, we can just get right into it, but the show is fantastic. It's very, very tight, and I'm very happy to say
I'm
that.
I'm glad you like it.
Because it would have been awkward if I would have came all the way to Orlando and interviewed you, but it's like...
Listen, bro, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, this...
Your show needs some work.
You know, hopefully, you know, it'll get better. I'm sure it'll get better.
You're a great guy, though. I mean, is there something I can do for you? I don't know.
But very, very tight, and everybody who likes Scam School or has ever seen Brian live, this is definitely the show to go see. But
dude, and let me tell you, on behalf of the Scam School fans, that has been the big surprise for me, is that so many people after the show come up and tell me how much they enjoy Scam School. And what's wild is I always ask them, it's like, well, how did you get into Scam School? And I'm shocked. Like about a third of the answers I've gotten have been from TiVo. They're like, oh, it showed up on my TiVo once.
Really?
I've been watching it there ever since. And I was like, I never, you know, you and me were computer geeks, so it's
exactly
all iTunes or revision3.com or YouTube. But you know, it's cool to just know it's getting out there.
Yeah, it's odd to see, you know, and of course, when you're plugged in, you kind of lose track that there is a site above ground.
That's right.
That do things by different rules.
There are people who watch something called a television. And that they sit on their couch. I'm doing air quotes for you guys at home, by the way.
Talk us about, you know, how's it gone?
I am so pleasantly
surprised. Are you already in a year?
Surprised.
Has there already been a year since?
Almost. Well, you know what? It's been a year since we have talked about it.
Okay.
We shot the pilots almost a year ago. We launched only in April. So,
okay.
So it certainly has been running for a year. We're up to episode 31 now, I think. But, you know, when we got ready to launch, I was terrified of there being a backlash of, you know, some kind of Masked Magician Part 2 thing.
Yeah.
But I'm so very proud and so pleased with the way magicians have really embraced it. And I think what they figured out is that there's a difference between exposing and teaching. Exposing is something that denigrates magic, that takes magicians down a peg, that diminishes the value of what we do. And teaching brings people in. It gives them a taste of performance and makes them future magicians, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like I would love it if 10 years from now, when I'm an older fogey, and people were coming up and saying, wow, I got into magic because of you and Scam School and whatever. It's like, I really hope that comes to pass.
Yeah, I actually do. Now that you mentioned it, I remember the first time I talked to you, you could not get away from the idea that, like, oh, I'm teaching magic on a podcast faster. Every once in a while, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff. You know, it's not just magic.
Well, you'll notice we try really hard to stay away from the M word as well. It's like, I make sure to call everything a scam. And, you know, some of it is magic concepts or whatever. But it's like, I want to make it very clear that this is not It's not just a magic podcast. It's not just a magic based show. It's about anyone who loves screwing with other people. And, you know, magic is obviously a huge part of that. But there are, but like we talked about earlier, there's all this other stuff.
And it seems like you're not trying to, you know, you want it, it's a cool podcast, but it's not cool in spite of magic. Like you're trying to bring, hey, listen, like, you can use magic tricks to get free beer.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You know, that fits into the magic tent too, kids. It doesn't all have to be sequins.
Exactly. And I think, you know, and that's something I wanted to communicate. It's that, you know, magic is not what you remember from your 8th birthday party. You know,
yes.
Magic, granted, that is a division of magic, and there are people who bring a lot of joy to kids doing it that way. But but there is magic, you know, that from 15 to 25, that's sort of a black hole. You know, once you turn 15, magic doesn't seem so cool anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where I want Scam School to hit is to be
plug
like,
in.
Look, there's, yeah, exactly. It's like, let's
just get all
fill
those
that
16
void.
Year olds getting free drinks at the bar.
That's what do they say? I'm not going to mention who, but somebody I was talking about, he's like, well, our target demographic is 21 to 31, which of course means 12 to 22. I think, you know, and if I'm 14, it's like, I'm going to watch a podcast about, you know, winning free beer at the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm drinking or anything, but, you know,
no, but
you're interested
it's a cool thing. I mean, when you watch, you know, you watch James Bond, you don't want to go out and, you know, join the military and shoot people.
You don't.
Well,
I do.
That might have been a really bad example.
No, that's
actually,
right.
That was a terrible example.
It's a recruiting film.
That's.
If you'll excuse me, I need to go join the military and start killing people.
Join MI6.
This is Michael Lauk with a Magic Business News Update. Flash! The economy b****s. This means you must more effectively than ever before market your magic business. At Horizon Monster Productions, we can help you. Our video production wing can produce quality web streaming or broadcast quality video you need to show your clients your magic. Or our professional press releases can get you the local media attention you need for your shows and events. Visit us at www.horizonmonster.com to learn more. Mention iTrix and waive the initial $10 setup fee on press releases. Now, back to you, Justin.
All right, we have some feedback from our listeners. David Williams of Carlsbad, California says, I cannot disagree with Morgan Strobler's comment that years from now, David Blaine will be thought of in the way that Houdini is more. Houdini's public persona was a man who could escape anything. He challenged the public to bring him devices he couldn't escape from, and always those challenges stirred the media and the hearts of the world. He became one of the iconic characters of the 20th century. Meanwhile, David Blaine sits in a box for 4 days or stands on a pole and hangs upside down. He brings nothing to stimulate the public's imagination. There's a short period of looking at the freak show, and then it is forgotten.
I don't know. I think I disagree with that because, and by the way, I'm a recovering David Blaine hater. I had the same green envy that I think a lot of magicians had when David Blaine bust on the scene.
Yeah. And this was even before the stunts.
Right.
This was when it was just like, well, who doesn't know how to bite a coin?
Yeah,
why is
exactly.
he getting the special?
It's like, I have that prop. What is he doing? You know. But over the years, I've come to really respect all of his ballyhoo, straight out of Houdini's playbook. And as far as the idea that David Blaine is not capturing the imaginations, I would have agreed with that, you know, 10 years ago, but I would have been wrong because what he did was he captured, you got to remember when David Blaine came on the scene, it was all World's Greatest Magic in sequins.
Yeah.
And World's Greatest Magic was on its like fourth or fifth incarnation. And he was an absolute rejection of that. Some would say an overcorrection where it's like, not only was he not no sequins, no stage, but he was no script. I mean, he was just like, here's magic, and I'm not even going to tell you how to feel about it. So there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, there was a script, but it was all just look, watch.
Forget about that trick. Yeah. And it drove me nuts. Like I said, I was the same hater as a lot of other magicians, but obviously, whether we wanted it or not as magicians, it did resound and resounded strongly with audiences, which is what made him such a lasting phenomenon.
Yeah, and I think the point that Morgan and I made on last week's podcast was that it's the pictures. You know, when you have a picture of you gathering 10,000 people in Central Park to watch you, and this is after everybody's, you know, taking shots at you in the paper and calling you a failure.
Nobody remembers those comments,
though. Then all of a sudden, you see a picture with a guy packing a park, hanging upside down.
Yep.
Like, I'm sorry. Those things last forever.
They
That's
do.
That's what star power is.
And it's like, you got to remember, Houdini was just a guy to the folks working at the same time, you know,
yeah.
to the other magicians. You
yeah.
know? They're like, what's he doing? And there were people who would do Houdini's effects. But as far as lasting, iconic staying power, I think David Blaine's going to be remembered as the turn of this century's magician.
All right. Well,
I mean, assuming he doesn't, you know, freak out and set a house on fire. I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of time for him to screw up his legacy.
Exactly,
is what I'm
exactly.
trying to say.
We'll just say that he's built a very
he's on,
nice.
He's on track.
You know,
if he keeps coming out with the specials like he's doing, and he keeps doing these iconic special events like, you know, like the box and all that stuff. I think 100 years from now he'll definitely be remembered.
He's doing all right. All right, folks. Thank you for everybody who wrote in. And again, it is show@itricks.com, or just leave a comment on the Magic Weekend Review post on iTrix. As, well, you know, we were going to mention at the top of the program, but this whole thing completely went off the rails by about second three.
That's right.
So,
I'm glad I had that effect on you.
But what I would have said is that Steve Sheridan of Hot Trix is now suing Coors Brewing Company over a thing that we are actually big fans of, an iPhone application.
Really?
You might remember the iBeer application.
Yeah.
Of course, you can do fake drink a beer, but Coors released one called iPint that was free.
Yeah.
Hot Trix claims that infringed on their copyright, and it cost them quite a bit of money since there was a free competitor to what they had released. And this week filed a $12.5 million lawsuit.
Whoa, that's a lot of pints.
Indeed. And this is how we were lucky enough to email back and forth with Steve. He told us that the staggering $12.5 million figure comes from the fact that they estimate 12 million iPints were downloaded for free.
Okay.
And that after the Apple cut, they would have gotten $2.1, so $2.10, per iBeer.
Wait. So he's assuming that everyone that was downloaded for free would have been a customer that would have bought his.
Which brings me to my question,
okay.
Brian.
Yeah, no, go on.
Do you think this has a case?
Interesting.
Just so everybody's clear, nobody here has a law degree. But you're technologically inclined. You're
yep.
even more familiar with iPhone apps than maybe the average bear. So what do you think about this claim?
That's a tough question because I mean, there's a lot of different aspects to lawsuits. Like you don't always, there's what you say and then there's what you're really going for, you
yeah.
know. I mean, he might be able to make a pretty good case that, wow, you certainly did just shut down my business course by taking my idea and running with it and giving it away for free.
Yeah.
And Coors may, you know, may say, well, will you shut up for $100,000? You know, and, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But,
and all the Molson you can drink.
You know what? Maybe Scam School needs to come in with a lawsuit for Coors.
Well,
love to see
you don't
this.
Say.
I'm really interested to see how this plays out. I don't really want to talk like I know anything, but,
It's something we talked about a little bit. We don't have to get into it too heavy into the IP chat because not everybody's into that kind
right.
of thing, but there is this notion and Sheridan brought it up, when he emailed with us that there is this unspoken rule in magicians. And we've been a little bit dubious of that, you know, when it's been brought up. I believe there was a Harvard paper that wrote about it.
Yeah, how they pretty much we self-enforce by shaming, essentially.
Yeah, there is shaming, but of course that doesn't, I think, stop people from ripping people off.
Well, that's what happens when you deal with Coors or Cirque du Soleil or grown-ups in business. they deal with things like contracts and copyright law,
yeah.
and they're not so concerned with credit for you know. And then that's where we have ugly situations like this, where, you know, and how many great effects like Kevin James's moving hand illusion that is, hey, that's pretty clever, let's make that in China, and sorry Kevin James. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like we run into
crazy hand glove.
Yeah,
is now on the market for $10 cheaper than what you were selling.
Exactly, or $10 period. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And it looks like crap, and it's a throwaway gag, and it diminishes everything that he worked for. You know, so it's a real bummer. But I don't know what the right solution is because nothing about magic really fits the existing copyright structure.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think you're right. I don't want to dive too deep into this because, I mean, I'm falling asleep myself, and I'm super fascinated by all this stuff, you know? But I don't want to bore everyone with the...
No. But like they always say, we have to go out on a high note for Magic Week in Review, so we're going to end the podcast.
So we're all screwed. So anyway, your ideas are easily ripped off. Sorry.
Yes.
Flame cores.
Sleep on it, Magic community. Yeah. I would like to thank Brian Brushwood. Of course, you can check him out at scamschool.tv. Brian Brushwood, or is it schwood.com?
Either one. Scamschool.tv is all the episodes, but yeah. But my personal website is schwood.com. That's SHWOOD. And you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/schwood, SHWOOD.
And
for those who are wondering, that's the last part of Brushwood.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. They're like, that's a dumb name. I mean, that may be, but it's from my name.
True. Yes. I'm not going to say who it is.
What?
But I know that.
Are you talking about a usurper to my throne?
No, I'm just going to say that there is another magic celebrity.
There's a magician.
Whom Brian is desperately trying to stay ahead of on Twitter.
Clawing.
So please, we need to marshal the forces and everybody follow Brian.
He hasn't even announced it yet. He hasn't even announced that he has a Twitter.
We didn't even know it's real. This could not be the guy. But theoretically, there's a guy.
For the moment, I'm 100 Twitter followers ahead of this individual, whoever he may be.
Yes. A talkative man. A man of many words.
That's right. He's a big player.
Yes. He reminiscent to maybe early bumpers to Comedy Central.
He's a larger, more talkative part of the magic community.
Anyway, so follow Schwood on Twitter. It was at about this time during our interview that Brian realized he was late for his show at Halloween Horror Night, so this will be the sign-off. Again, remember to watch Brian's show, Scam School, at scamschool.tv, and go to schwood.com for more information. If you guys would like to fire back on anything you heard on this podcast, go ahead and email show@itricks.com or leave a comment on the post where this podcast is on iTricks. Until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young for iTricks.com.
iTricks.com.